Once again this afternoon, if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we looked at verses 1 to 7 this morning, and this afternoon we'll look at verses 8 to 14. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we're truly thankful as a congregation, along with the parents, family, and friends, for the manifestation of God's grace, a grace that's evident by the profession of faith made here today by 8 of God's covenant young adults. Today we heard these young people give their yes to the covenant promises that were first signed and sealed to them already at the time of their baptism. We heard their commitment to the teachings of God's word and to what we believe as summarized in our Reformed confessions. We heard them confess that Jesus Christ is their Savior from sin and Lord of their lives, indicating to us again and making a vow before God to a desire to serve him and to walk in all his ways. Today marks a most significant highlight in their spiritual pilgrimage. And we would say along with them and for them to our God, praise the Lord. And as we noted this morning, the fact that someone professes to be a Christian must be evident not only by their verbal profession of faith, the confession that is made with the mouth, but most importantly, one's profession of faith must also be made manifest by their daily walk with the Lord. In a sense, we might say that one's profession of faith is really an ongoing and a daily occurrence, isn't it? It's not something that they just do once here before the congregation, but every day, 24/7, their profession of faith must be made manifest. As image bearers of God and as children of our Heavenly Father, we must bear a likeness to our Father in heaven. What does that look like? Well, as we noted this morning, it means we must heed the command to be imitators of God. We are to walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And with the command to walk in love, then also comes a challenge, doesn't it? Not to be deceived by Satan's ploys and counterfeit love, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And now, looking ahead to verses 8 to 14, the theme of being imitators of God continues. And so let's proceed this afternoon under the theme, be imitators of God, walk in the light. Noting again, as we did this morning, these three things. First of all, the command. Secondly, the challenge. And thirdly, the consequences. The Apostle Paul begins by reminding these new converts in the church of Ephesus of their former status. If you have your Bibles open, follow along. For you were once in darkness. These Gentile Christians were once unbelievers. Unbelievers perhaps that were even engaged in the idolatry of worshiping Artemis, this fertility goddess in the temple in Ephesus. Back in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, Paul gives us a portrait of their lives before their conversion, before their coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. There we read, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This is what they once were. But by the grace of God, this is no longer the case. Once they were alienated from God. They had friendship with Satan as their master. They did not worship the true God. Once they walked in spiritual and moral darkness, and Ephesus was a very pagan place. Sexual immorality was common in Ephesus in the temple. And as children born in darkness, they not only walked in darkness, but they loved the darkness. That was their former way of life. A life lived in moral and spiritual darkness. Which Paul says, that's what you were. That's what you came from. That's your former way of life. But all that has changed by the grace of God and through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Born again of the Holy Spirit, their once spiritually dead hearts have now been made alive in Christ Jesus. They who once walked in darkness are now living in the light of the Lord. God called them. He has chosen them. And he has pluck them, as it were, from this road of darkness, from this road leading to destruction, to this road leading to hell. And he has plucked them and transferred them into his marvelous light. Grace, amazing grace, has given them new life. Grace has plucked them from a road of destruction to a road to eternal life. By grace, their citizenship is no longer in and of the world, but now, elect of God, plucked from this world of darkness, they are citizens of the kingdom of God. And now, on account of God's marvelous grace, on account of their spiritual transformation made possible only through the working of the Holy Spirit, as citizens of the kingdom of God, God now issues to them a command. Walk as children of light. Notice, first of all, congregation, this is not merely a suggestion. This is not just a worthy recommendation given by God as some good advice for you perhaps to give careful and due consideration. No, this is an imperative. An imperative is a command. And who's the command given by? By God Himself. You are now children of light. And God issues a command. Therefore, walk as children of light! Exclamation mark. What were you? Past tense? Yes, you were once darkness. You walked in evil's way. You walked in the way of destruction. But what are you now? You are light in the Lord. And now, by virtue of their union in Christ, who is the light of the world, Christians must now walk as children of light. Listen to what we read in Colossians 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Did you catch that? Christ has delivered us from the grips, from the power of darkness. Christ has rescued us, as it were, from Satan's dominion, from this world, and conveyed us into the kingdom of heaven. Delivered by Christ, united to Christ, Christ has set us free. Free. From the tyranny of the evil one. We who are now light in the Lord must now walk as children of light. In 1 Peter 2, 9 we read, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Here again, congregation, we see this transformation of a life lived in darkness to a life lived in Christ. How did this happen? You are a chosen generation. Talks about our election. We have been redeemed in Christ Jesus, the wonderful work of our Savior. And by doing so, what has He done? It says it so beautifully, doesn't it? Who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's taken us, redeemed us, and set us on a new path. And now, because we are children of light, we are called to heed the command. Now walk it. Live it. The old way of life, that's gone. A new way has begun. But let go of the darkness. We mustn't waver. We cannot travel two paths. We cannot walk in the darkness and the light. What we once were is now past, and we're set on a new path. Listen to what we read in 1 John 1, 5-7. This is the message which we heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. How can you tell a true profession of faith from a counterfeit one? If one is truly a child of light, that person will walk in the light. To profess one thing and to not live it is to live a lie. No matter what one professes, the genuineness of that profession must always be evident. How? By their walk. Is it a walk in darkness or a walk in light? So what does that walk as children of light look like? Paul gives a small sampling in verses 9 to 10. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Christians, true Christians, those children of light must be imitators of God. How? In character. And here Paul mentions just three of such characteristics: goodness, righteousness, and truth. The first character, goodness, has to do with moral excellence. It actually has a connotation of benevolence, the act of a willing and sacrificial service to others. We are commanded to be imitators of God, and we say, how? Well, walk in the light. Well, what does that look like? It's the goodness spoken of in 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. This kind of goodness is the outward manifestation of what lives here in the heart, a transformed heart, a heart born again of the Holy Spirit, a heart that does not want to walk in the darkness, that has walking now in the light. The second characteristic, righteousness, has to do with right and moral living. We are commanded to be imitators of God. How? Walk in the light. We say, well, what's that look like? It means to know the right, to love the right, and to walk in righteousness. It involves being just and fair in all our attitudes and dealings with others. Those who have been made righteous through the imputed righteousness of Christ are commanded here to be imitators of God. How? To live righteously. To live holy and godly lives, pleasing unto the Lord. The third characteristic, truth, has to do with honesty, trustworthiness, and integrity. Again, we're commanded to be imitators of God. How? Walk in the light. What does it mean? It means to know and to love the truth of God's infallible word. We must learn to distinguish truth from what is false, using God's word as that plumb line. We must learn to discern light from darkness and to refrain from the darkness of the world. How does one know whether one's profession of faith is genuine? How can we identify a true Christian from the counterfeit? What's their response to God's command to be imitators of God? Are they truly children of light, walking in the light, made manifest by Christ-like characteristics such as goodness, righteousness, and truth? Ultimately, congregation, what lives here in the heart will be made manifest outwardly, won't it? A good tree will bear good fruit. Goodness, righteousness, truth. What does a bad tree produce? Bad fruit. So whether a child of light or darkness, we will know them by their fruit, by their daily walk with the Lord. Second, no longer is walking as children of light, it's a challenge. Why? Because of our old sinful nature. And God's word sets forth that additional challenge in verses 11 to 13. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. What's the challenge? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. By the works of darkness, we refer back to what Paul mentioned earlier in verses 3 to 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetous, let us not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither foolishness, filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. But we ought not, congregation, to limit the list to just that brief list. The works of darkness includes all in God's word that God condemns. And why is it such a challenge? Because God has placed us in the world, and yet we are not to be of the world. Being children of light requires a separation, a degree of separation from the children of darkness, doesn't it? We don't serve the same master. We have differing beliefs, differing values, differing principles. We're heading in two different directions, aren't we? Where are the children of darkness? What is the direction they're living their life? It's on a path of destruction, isn't it? And the children of light, it's in a totally different direction. Children of darkness travel a broad road. We travel the narrow. As children of light, we're called to be holy, to be as those who have been plucked out of that darkness into His marvelous light. Some people will say, yeah, Pastor, that's all sounds wonderful, but how then can we evangelize? How can we be a witness to them? How can we coexist in the world? Scripture is pretty clear here, isn't it? We need to recognize our incompatibility. Light and darkness don't mix. Listen to what we read in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And the answer is, and what communion has light with darkness? And the answer is, and what accord has Christ with Baal? And the answer is, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And again, the answer is, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And the answer is, for you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be father to you, and you will be my sons and daughter, says the Lord Almighty. Dating unbelievers, young people, it's not even an option, is it? It's not an option. What communion has light with darkness? None. None. What accord has Christ with Baal? None. You want to date an unbeliever? What path is an unbeliever on? A path of darkness. A path that leads where? To hell. And you, as a child of light, traveling a narrow road, traveling a road that leads to eternal life? How does that work in a marriage when you're going two different directions, when the foundation is not Christ as the cornerstone, when one leads to death and one leads to eternal life. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And yet sometimes it can be a challenge, isn't it? But God's word is clear. It's crystal clear. When we read 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18, we say, what part of this don't you understand? Believers and unbelievers are living in two opposing, incompatible ways. In fact, these two worlds are at enmity with one another, hostility with one another. The unregenerate person is at enmity, hostility, not just neutral, hostility with God. How then is there compatibility? There isn't. And those who are children of light walk in the light, whereas those who are children of darkness, what's their walk? It's in darkness. They can't coexist. Our goal in life is to live in a manner that's pleasing, acceptable, and pleasing unto the Lord. I had a taste of that not too long ago where a neighbor's ex-husband suddenly died. When you talk to them and you think, it's so shallow, it's so empty. There's nothing you can say to comfort them. And then you know our own confessions. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I'm not my own, but belong body and soul and life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's comfort. That's the difference between light and darkness. The joy of the gospel gives us life. And when you're living in darkness, it is down, it is depressing, it is dark. The darkness of the world does not offer hope. Our goal is to live in a manner that's pleasing, to glorify God and to enjoy Him. Our lives are to be, as earlier this morning, as a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Is our life a sweet-smelling aroma to God? Or is it a nasty stench? When God sees our lives, does He have to plug His nose? Does He welcome it with open arms? A sweet-smelling sacrifice. But there's a second challenge. We're commanded to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Why? Because Scripture says, these deeds that they do in darkness are shameful. They're an offense against the holy and a righteous God. Therefore, we can't just be neutral towards them. The command is clear. Sin has to be exposed. The children of light are commanded, expose the deeds of darkness. Admittedly, that's not always easy, is it? Why? Because we're often fearful of the repercussions. Ever been at a wedding and there's off-color jokes? And everybody's expected to laugh. Expose the deeds of darkness, coarse jesting, filthiness. And the argument comes, yeah, but I'm just a sinner myself. And yet, congregation, by our silence, we're approving and even promoting the deeds of darkness, aren't we? It's sad how we become content being silent bystanders. Oh, get a grip, lighten up. Do we just sit idly by and ha ha ha, the deeds of darkness? Again, it's a struggle for all of us, isn't it? Holding each other accountable is never a pleasant or easy task. And yet doesn't our love for our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord require us to speak up? To expose the deeds of darkness? Don't we have a place in this world to speak for the unborn child in the womb? 100,000 children every year aborted, murdered. Who speaks for them? Are we content just to be silent? We can't change it. Why fight it? Really? By silent bystanders, we just condone it, accept it. Is that our place as Christians? Not according to this text. But Paul concludes this section with a warning in verse 14. Therefore he says, "Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." What's God doing? He issues a summons to come to the light. We're being exhorted by God Himself. Arise from your spiritual slumber. Awaken out of your spiritual deadness. Come to Christ. Here's the free offer of the gospel. It goes out indiscriminately to all peoples of all nations throughout the entire world. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Heed the call to repentance and faith. God appeals to all peoples of all nations. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your life of darkness. Look at Christ, the light of the world. Congregation, now is a time of grace. And there's a sense of urgency to this, isn't there? Turn and live. Consider, too, a life lived in spiritual darkness, a life lived in enmity with God, a life that denies Jesus Christ. What are the consequences of such a life? Deadness. May it be our desire, by the grace of God and through the power and working of the Holy Spirit, to stand where these young people have stood today and to profess their faith, not just with their mouth, but also by their lives. And it is our prayer for these young people who have professed their faith here today that they would continue to walk as children of light, and shine as stars in this world of darkness. I'm always encouraged with our youth. I think sometimes our youth sometimes have more courage to let their light shine and to be proactive in this world of darkness. It's encouraging to see their engagement with what's going on in the world around them. But may God help all of us, the young, the elderly, to be faithful. Let us heed the command. Which command? Walk in love and walk as children of light. Amen.